is allowed, which brought us just to that 32. So, at hand would be to approve the payment of the 22,191, and that was what we had originally planned for this meeting. And the vendor turned these in right on the town council date of last month, so I didn't get to get them to you for that meeting. I've talked to them about trying to get their invoices to me on the first Monday of every month so I can get whatever they invoice us for in front of you in any given council meeting. We did hear from them this this money, along with what they used for the water meter kits, was a good chunk of money of contracting for them. We did hear from them this week, and do you want to address that?
How much was that for?
$18,966.
Yeah, so this week we did hear from them requesting payment, and since we had previously approved, what was it?
Up to $30,000.
Up to $30K, and their requested was 18 and some change.
Right.
I made the decision to approve that because for a variety of reasons, but mainly from the standpoint that they have been a good vendor for us. They have been there, and I felt that under the circumstances, I felt it was important that I exerted some authority and approved the check. Normally we would have brought it here, but there were some extenuating circumstances about this, and I'd be glad to discuss with you, any of you off the record. It's not necessary to bring it into the public view, but there was nothing untoward about what was done. We followed everything, and they're an important commodity for us. I don't know if any of you saw what was going on when it was 8 degrees outside, and they had two workers in a hole, and with the water busted, and it was just awful, and I think Jacob was there too. It wasn't a pretty sight. So anyway, that's what I did, just to let you know in full disclosure.
So that 18,9 plus the 10,4 only took us to a total of 29,400, which was what you had previously, under what you had originally approved to spend, which was 30,000. So what's left to pay them out of this work is $3,225. And I have that invoice here. So your motion today would be to really to approve all of it, but most particularly this check for $32,225. I have all the invoices here if anybody wants to peruse any of those, and we can take some time. I did not get these out to you in advance because I got a little confused about whether we were meeting or not, but that is all right here if anybody wants to take extra time to look at any of that.
I think we're about to ask the same question.
Yeah.
So what is the amount we're presenting?
So the $18,966.70 is what's already been paid to them of what we owed.
All
so
right.
Technically you really should approve that payment. And then also you would approve this $3,225 check.
Oh, sorry, what was that one again?
$3,225.
Oh,
yes. And that's, if you want an invoice number, I can give you that. It's for just 178 Polk Street, the repairs at 178 Polk. And that would be a separate check. Are you tracking? Kevin, you got a question?
No.
Probably this one where the information got carried over to the back.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. All right. Everybody know what we're doing? Okay.
Yes. All this. None of this is a surprise.
Except a rather low figure.
Yeah, it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna do this as two separate motions. Clean. move to distribute $18,966 to Green Ridge Contractors for maintenance of mains work for the Harpers Ferry Waterworks as previously
dispersed.
Is there a second on that motion? Second, Chris. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
I move to distribute $3,225 to Green Ridge Contractors for work at 178 Polk Street.
Second on that motion. Second, Chris. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion carries.
Who seconded the motion?
Chris.
I seconded both.
Chris.
Thank you.
So we had that, I'm assuming you voted in the affirmative, Kevin?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, that one was 6-0.
So now, before we move on from that, Budget and Finance would have taken this up yesterday had we met, but we are still faced with the staffing arrangement that we have within the waterworks, which limits our ability to readily address leaks that occur. And this was about, I think we figured out about a quarter's worth of work, and it kind of worked out that way, probably a little bit ahead of the game. But in the interest of being able to confidently deploy Green Ridge, you all may want to consider allocating another chunk of money for the next quarter. I'll adjust in real time here now this number to be the 32, all right, so assuming that we have no interest and that my contributions are accurate estimate. If you put in another 30,000 here, then you would end the year at 142,627 in your maintenance of means. Is everybody tracking with me what I did with those numbers? So here was your starting right here, the 176. This is what you've spent now. If you project another 30,000 for the next quarter, plus the contributions for the year, you should end at 142. If you'll note, your interest so far in 2025, no, just for fiscal 26, has been 2,300, so that's a nice.
So that $30,000, we came up with that number based on, there's a rough equivalent with what the employees would be, right?
We asked for some estimates of specific work to be done, and that has not been forecasted. Steve does have some ideas in his mind, but it has not been specifically forecasted. And then we took that number and we did compare it to employee staffing changes, that it was going to be kind of robbing Peter for Paul. You'd probably be a little ahead with this arrangement.
Is outsourcing this constantly something we want to talk about?
Well, I think this is stopgap. Likely, okay. If we were to throttle up with capacity tomorrow, we might not spend this.
And a lot of this work, it would still be beyond the scope of what even Maine's workers, right, who are certified for that, might be able to handle due to equipment and manpower. From the way I understand it from Steve, some of it they would be able to pick up if we were fully staffed that way, but not all of it.
Yeah, my recollection is this is how we had them as a contractor.
Right.
There was equipment we did not have. It was always scrambling to get things done. So there are situations where we might still use them.
And our arrangement with them is that, you know, if it's an emergency, they're who we call. And if we have four or five things that we want to get done, we say to them, please give us a number, and I believe that this is how we would continue to proceed. But also, in light of these moments where we don't have staff that's dedicated to do this work, I didn't know if you wanted to consider that at this time.
Well, that was what I was asking. I mean, is that Is this an arrangement that we want to maintain and just not hire people?
Well, that is something that falls under item number 3.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, that this $30,000, we would still need to come back and
yes.
specifically ask.
Yes.
So this is just setting aside the budget.
I would say that we would want Steve to come forth with a plan, and then this also just gives us a realistic, it just gives us an extra layer of confidence if we need to deploy them for emergency or anything like that.
Then I move to allocate $30,000 for waterworks maintenance of Main Street.
You're second on that?
Second.
Jesse. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion, please approve. Motion carries 6-0, no objections.
Okay. All right, so the next item is the... water kit preparation work that you approved to have executed by Greenridge to prepare to clean out and repair, replace crocks, clean out pits, put lids on where things were missing. You have this resolution either on the table or in your email. Included in the packet is the actual invoicing, including the parts that they had to purchase and the list of pits that they did work on. And at the back of the packet is the, since this is coming from the Water Development Authority project, not their money, but the project, you will see an updated summary of where we are with the monies of the CND loan that's left sitting in the account, and that includes the disbursement of this check that you're looking to approve here for $28,713.32. You'll see that on line 1B, the second to the last page. Get this light back on. So with the payment of this, you'll notice that then the remaining balance at the bottom of that column is $419,951, which sounds tremendous. But keep in mind that we still owe TerraWorks a retainer. That's about $153,000. And we're looking at Gilbert Street then to as a big project to fulfill most of those funds that are left. The Greenridge number on the Gilbert Street project is $196,000. We will still have to pay GD&F for services all through this time. And so if you count just the retainer and the Greenridge, out of that $419,000, it takes us down to about $67,000. So out of that, we would pay GD&F, and we may have a little bit of money to take care of another project, smaller too, that Steve is kind of working on pulling together and getting some quotes on. So that's this is another thing that we would have discussed at length at Budget and Finance yesterday. But this, that should hopefully explain for you the summary of this resolution. Are there any other questions on that?
Debbie, do me a favor. Maybe others have a lapse in their memory also, but would you over one more time the retainer with TerraWorks?
So the retainer is not on here, but when you have a contract, as we did with them, and they present invoices, you hold back a percentage of those invoices as you work through the project, which is called the retainer. And you do that so that they have motivation to complete the work, and where we are with that is that we are waiting for our as-built drawings of all the work that they did. And that, I believe, is sitting at GD&F right now, going through final approval stage. And then Steve and Dave Gutsky, who was the RPR on the job, will do a walkthrough to make sure that everything has been covered and everything is done. And once that happens, then we will get the final invoice, which will be the retainer payout that we will then have to pay to TerraWorks. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I move to approve resolution number 15 of the WDA project as presented.
Second, Chris, discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion carried 6-0.
So along with that, so I'm gonna put this one up there as well. Okay. I'm out of the hot seat for a minute.
Number three, discussion action regarding water department staffing. Kristen, do you wanna jump on this one or not?
Well, Storm and I, okay. We're on that group. I believe we've received three resumes.
I think four now.
Four now?
Yeah.
But we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
We haven't had a meeting. Holidays, just cut us up.
Yeah.
So we have not done any kind of visiting. I've looked at several of the resumes, seemed the kind of people we need, but.
And it's been tough too for the IRC because of the death in the family with Steve. So, as soon as you guys can get back on that, I know the water department employees would appreciate it.
Well, we accelerated pretty good in the beginning, and then we just hit the brakes. But
no, that's fine. We had all the holidays, and Steve and this, that, and the other. But they are doing a marvelous job down there. The skeletal staff that we have, and managing to keep things, and it's a good thing. Other than maybe one or two instances, we haven't had a major break someplace. We've had a couple close ones.
Until it thaws.
Yeah.
The ground's got to be froze.
Yeah. So dollar. If you would just pass that word to David, and I'll mention it to Steve. I'll send him a note.
Yeah, we're pretty open to meeting.
Set it back down.
And then we will do complete background investigations this time. We'll pay the piper, but we'll do complete background investigations.
Yeah, that is important.
Is that for all of the candidates, or do we, or the final candidate?
I would think the final candidate.
Yeah,
we hadn't really talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste money.
I think it'd be a better way to put the final.
Yeah.
Anything else on that?
Well, maybe if things are going that well, is permanently outsourcing these jobs something we want to talk about?
I think we'd want to ask the PWA their estimation of that, because there may be tasks, there probably are, that would not be suitable for the contractor. Like there won't be as much meter reading, but other things that are maybe outside the scope, but I'm not really sure. It's worth asking.
I think it is worth asking.
I'll just say that I believe he does have a vision about where things will go, given the change in meters that we're going to be seeing here, that will largely change the dynamic of staff requirements. And I think he does have a vision about that, I think you're right that will inform the type of person that you would hire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a lot of manpower just for meter reading. A lot of manpower.
Waste.
Yeah,
so we're getting there. We're very close.
We are.
And to that end, I'll say that, because I didn't tell you about it when we were talking about the meter pits, but tomorrow is the pre-construction meeting for the meter project, so we are starting to move along. Yep.
Okay, number four, discussion action regarding streets and ground engineering to include Henry Clay Street.
So I'm going to pick that one up. Some brainstorming occurred after the council meeting last time. And the idea came forth that, similar to the arrangement that we have with our maintenance of mains contractor, perhaps we should have this kind of arrangement with an engineering firm to kind of be on call for us and to help us plan out what needs to be done or if things need to be done, et cetera, et cetera. So the mayor and I think maybe Jesse and Storm and I had some discussions with various Innocentia people, and I talked to GDNF, who's our engineer for the water department, and we got a handful of names of engineering firms that should be able to do this kind of work for us. And in following up on that as well, I talked to Region 9, and Jennifer said, oh yes, and I have a notice that you can put in the newspaper, and here's the process for selecting them, and go, and I will stand alongside you and make sure it's done right. So, I really have, like, a notice to go in the newspaper and a process to follow. The process would be similar to what we've done in the past, but it allows a period of interviewing, which I think is also excellent. Interviewing, like, if you, this request asks for interested firms to provide information, then interviews are set up, three are selected as the top ones, and then a negotiation occurs after the three interviews of first the top one to see if you can come to a rate agreement. If that doesn't work out, then the second and then the third top three selections. So this is how GDNF was selected back in many years ago. And so that all happened really fast.
So we're not hiring an individual, we're hiring a firm.
Yeah, to just be like, I'm retaining with us.
So
and,
whoever they got up next on can help us out.
Right. You know. And most of them seem to have, and we've at least, the three that we've been told, suggested to us, all have what they call streets and grounds engineering available to them, which is what we're looking for. You know, everything from, and we probably won't have this, but designing a playground to, you know, dealing with a sidewalk problem, to dealing with your roads, to all of that. And some of that will be covered under the scope of other projects that are already going on. This is not meant to cross over or cross up those projects, but to allow us to have a relationship with a firm that when we have an emergency situation, feel to call and say, look, we need somebody to help us come and look at this and help us decide what needs to be done.
Not even an emergency, just a complicated situation.
Yes, a complicated situation, right. So.
Is it possible to have somebody with some expertise in surveying, land surveying? Because we had a tremendous problem.
And also to deal with what was talked about in the last meeting that was going on with planning and all those, where they need help to inform them about what they're looking at. If changes are made in the ordinance that supports them to be able to do that, then this would be the contractor that we would work with for that, much like we do our legal services.
Mm-hmm.
So with this nice little tool, we're like really ready to maybe sit down and hash out some details, present it to council, and get an advertisement going.
Another tumbler falling into place.
Right.
Thanks, Deb.
So would you like any action to happen on that?
So I saw this is on here, so I brought the draft report of David and I, we went down to Vineyard Clay Street and went over that pretty well. Is now the time to talk about that?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and just put it on the table.
Well, what we decided was that we think the scope of the project needs to be reassessed. I spent quite a bit of time poking around there, and I think we've jumped all the way to the most complicated, most expensive solution imaginable. And we'd be better served if we started smaller and asking some folks, approaching it just for, can you come repair this road for us? And leave it at that, let them come and look at it and say, oh no, this is what needs to happen, and kind of go from there. You know, there's 38,900 miles of road in West Virginia. 30-something% of that is side hill construction, just like Henry Clay. And it doesn't make sense to me that you have to have a comprehensively engineered solution for all that. It just, nobody would be able to go anywhere in the state. And it may be that we end up right back at the place we are now, but it doesn't make sense to just jump right through that. We need to have some, you know, it's financially responsible to have somebody else come look at it with a different perspective on it. And it may be that, you know, the local papers say, hey, yeah, we do this all the time, and they have a solution on hand. We also think that for extending the timeline on this, there's two things. One is, yes, it is a problem that has to be fixed. You know, barring some kind of major weather event, it's not going to fall off and crush the daycare tomorrow. So, you know, we can turn the heat down on there. But also, we could stretch that out even further if we put, kind of like we're talking about putting in the post office parking lot, those flexible posts. We just bolt them right to the concrete where the road's slipping, and keep vehicles off of those low dipped out spots. And the road's only one lane anyway. It's officially two lane, but practically it's only one. So putting some of these up at this end of Henry Clay is not going to affect. You know, there's three houses. They can surely see who's coming. And then. You know, that would give us a lot of extra time. You know, it's incremental, but every time a car goes over that, it's a little bit more. And if we keep them off of that, that'll buy us quite a bit of time. And the last thing was, you know, I think we ought to be pretty aggressive with contacting these local pavers and these small mom and pop operations. Get them in here and get their opinions, and let's see what they have to say, and we can move forward from there. But I think, you know, but leave it really bland. You know, like, just come fix our road. And they'll tell us when they get here why they can't do that or why they can. And the, like I said, we should be aggressive about it. You know, call them on the phone, send somebody around and knock on doors, which I'm happy to do if, you know, if that's allowable. You know, I'll go knock on doors. But
Can I just say something? I think it's great. Your idea is great. Do we have to make it a through street? Do we have to go all the way through? Can they go in one direction, houses over there, and another direction? We stop at that, whatever that blue house is. That's it. That's the end of the road. And then, I'm just saying, we got to start thinking sometimes out of the box, well, instead of just going pave the road.
So all those houses have to have, you know, they could come from one way or the other. But they're still going to be traversing right by the damaged part of the road, no matter which way we block.
Where is it exactly?
It's on this end of Henry Clay, where it's not Wiggum. What's his name?
Whittington.
Yeah, Whittington. Yeah, it's where those houses are. So right there, there's a big telephone pole and a water meter, which I think we may have broken the retaining wall in putting that meter in. I'm not sure that actually failed by itself. It looks damaged. And then from there's one spot there, and then a little bit more, what is it, west? A little more up the hill. Yeah. There's another section where the road.
Because we do have a paper street that comes down on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we should sometimes think out of the box. Sometimes we need to change the road. Maybe it's not made to be a two-way road.
Well, it's not. I mean, if we block off the damaged parts of that, it's not really going to affect. Because you can't fit two cars down there anyway. You know, it's effectively a one-lane road. And we could make it one way, but, you know, the traffic, those flexible poles stuck to the road will do that for us. And it's a, like I said, it is a stopgap. But, you know, anything we can do to stretch this out, you know, it's better off for everybody.
So long-term, we're worried that the road's just going to go down?
That's what's happening now. It's, you know, you can see it. It's the retaining wall is not deep enough into the hill, and the hill's eroding,
right.
And so the subsiding downhill, and you know, it looks to me like you could just put piles down in there and just be done with it. You know, spend a weekend with the construction company driving piles into the road and then just repave on top of them. You know, that's what they do back home, but you know. That's what I want to hear. I want to get some people in here with some alternative ideas.
We should be open-minded.
Yeah.
The other challenge with making that road one way is that at the far end, you're dealing with a very steep slope.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, right now,
I know.
Yeah, York Street is not that
slow.
Yeah,
we got a block.
So there's four houses on that road after it gets steep. And they're going to treat it however they want to. I mean, we could put a sign up and say it was one way or whatever, and they're just going to drive on it however they want. You know, I think physically keeping them off of the damaged area is a, you know, doesn't give them the choice to disobey the sign.
Yeah.
you know, they just have to.
You have a proposed initial action that you want to put on the table for us tonight?
Well, yeah, propose that we install the traffic delineators on the, is it the western end of Henry Clay Street?
I guess it's the north. North side facing the river.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, install flexible traffic delineators on the damaged segments of Henry Clay Street.
Second, if that was a motion.
Yep, that's it.
Yes, Storm, you see, these aren't very costly.
No.
A couple $100 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Larry is definitely capable of installing these himself. It's just three holes in the ground and some screws.
He'll learn how to approach
them. Oh, yes.
Do it real quick. So we have that motion. We have a second for Storm. We have a discussion.
I just wanted to point out that, should we vote first, then we have a discussion?
No, go ahead with discussion.
I talked to Carrie the other day, and I think it's common knowledge, but their property at the end there, the one with they had the damage, apparently that's been settled, and so that building may or may not be there anymore. So,
yeah. We'll jump through that.
Planning Council, so there are five houses on that road, I guess.
Yeah. It's one less.
Yeah, right. Five structures.
Yeah. Other discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
I will send you some measurements and some lists.
And then I'll get Larry on that one.
Do we also need a motion to move forward on Deb's anything that
creating a bid, and would you just want to go back to budget and finance?
Oh, the RFP.
We'll be having budget and finance within the next week or so. We could do
take it back to council.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I have an extensive list of pavers, including the one that we talked about, but from that other work. Yeah.
Right,
so I don't know who's going to be contacting anybody, but.
All right. Anything else on that? All right. Let's go to number five, discussion action regarding cellular and Wi-Fi signal boosting for public access. Christian, did you have anything on that?
Other than Melissa has been working on, I know Jesse has some information, and I talked to Brian Gray a week or so ago. I think we really just need to have everybody gather together.
Yeah. This continues to haunt us.
I can say a whole lot about this.
Yeah,
so, you know, I know we established a committee for telecommunications reliability. We haven't done anything with that formally because we don't want to do it in the winter when we have the best cell phone service that we have. You know, so I have surveys already created with mailing lists to go to residents and to business owners. And they're designed to get, you know, feedback on the effects of no cell phone service. All those will go out, I'm thinking March or April, whenever traffic picks back up, because right now, you know, so the whole idea is here, people fill out these surveys, compile that information, and then we will take that to our state house representative and our federal state representative, federal representatives, and lean on them really hard. And that has been effective. Like Monongahela County, it worked for them to do this. You know, you got to get the Verizon, nobody's interested really, because the closest available backhaul, which is the thing that makes the wireless networks work, is across the river in Maryland. So that means to wire out Harper's Ferry, somebody's going to have to bring fiber, dedicated fiber, across the bridge into here, and for a whopping 267 people, they're not interested. So, you know, we have to get their attention from the top down. They're not going to listen bottom up. And once we do that, you know, the Monongahela County had really good success with a public-private partnership with Xfinity, Verizon. Verizon's also there. Verizon is much more open to expansion, you know, than Xfinity. But Wi-Fi and cell service are radically different things. We do not qualify for any kind of municipal Wi-Fi program. That we would have to build that out from the ground up. Usually, you know, like when we were in Chattanooga doing this, the minimum sign-on, you had to have a commit of 10,000 customers. You know, so we're way far from that. There is, outside of Bridgeport, West Virginia, there is a housing development that did build it out themselves. It starts about 1,500 people and costs $3.5 million. You know, and that's just to get Wi-Fi. You know, it doesn't do anything for your cell service. So, you know, we're kind of, we've got what we've got as far as Wi-Fi, you know, without significant spend. The cell service we can do something about, but it's gonna take time, and it's essentially a lobbying effort is what it's gonna be. You know, the we can put smaller towers up, repeater towers, you know, they're like $20,000 a piece. The they can support 260 users simultaneously, which sounds awesome until you realize there's 24,500 people on 340 every day. And that's where our cell phone service is going when the traffic's busy. The people driving by are stealing our cell phone service. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's the same mess when the tourists are here in town. You know, we just, it's radically overwhelmed to support the kind of daily traffic, you know, volumes we're talking about, where the average person right now has 2.8 connected devices on them all the time. So you round it up to three, a watch, a phone, and a tablet or something like that. So it's 2.8 is the national average. And so you have to take that figure and then multiply it by how many people you've got in town at a given time. And we essentially end up needing the same kind of system that they have in a stadium. Mm. You know, it's a lot of money, mm. You know.
Have you looked into it all? We know that the park had fiber installed mm-hmm. a number of years ago. I don't know if that backhaul might already be here, if that would be a leg up.
Well, as far as I know, everybody's pulling off. I think the park service eventually connects to what's across the river over there. And the park service isn't sharing. That was part of the whole thing, is it's a dedicated private network.
Yeah.
So that's where, so the way this all works is when you place a cell phone call, it goes to the tower. The tower sends it on a wire to a network switching system. And that is the backhaul between the tower and the network switching system. And then it goes on the ground, through the ground, to wherever it's going, and it gets beamed back from a tower to your device. So you got to have this whole thing in place to make any of that work. It's not as simple as putting up a tower. Unfortunately, Verizon, the tower they have up there, they're renting backhaul. They don't own the fiber that they're using either. So, you know, there's a bunch of different vendors and a bunch of different people involved. However, I want to target the primary carriers. That would be Verizon and AT&T. The, like, T-Mobile, they don't own most of their network. They lease that from Verizon and AT&T. So, you know, instead of walking it up the chain really slow, I'd rather start at the top and get some help from the government to get the attention of these providers and go from there. You know, it is a complicated process. I have an awesome report if you would like to read it and look at the draft surveys. You haven't heard much about it from me because there's nothing to be done at this moment. You know, we haven't even staffed the committee because there's nothing to do. You know.
I don't know. I don't know if this would be something that we could go to the park with under the Gateway Communities Initiative. It may be beyond them if it's, you know, if it's at the higher level.
I mean, we can give it a shot.
Well, last week I was talking to an Xfinity technician who came over to look at my telephone pole. And he told us he said they've made a major investment in Harpers Ferry in their whole system. He says, way more than what we really deserve, is basically the same. They just really upgraded it. I don't know if that means anything.
It's just, you know, so they have, you can get, it's essentially like the phones here in the office where it's calling over Wi-Fi. And we could do that probably with Verizon, but it ain't cheap. There's a major investment, and you know, I didn't go down that route because they're, you know, it's just a stupid amount of money. for us.
Any suggestions?
Does Bolivar have the same problem?
Yeah.
I mean, as two towns.
Yeah, so I have a coverage. I'll send it around. I developed a coverage map through many, many, many trips with two cell phones testing actual connection and signal strength on two different carriers. And, you know, we're at the edge of a hole. Like, nobody wants to do anything in West Virginia for a variety of reasons. One of which is that it's so the distance that the towers have to be apart. You know, they would, if it was up to them, the entire world would be flat like Kansas, and they could do five towers and cover the whole state. Well, here there are four towers within, you know, a quarter mile here, just over a quarter mile, but none of those work independently. They all have to see the next one. So it's a huge, huge investment. It's like that through the whole state, you know. And, you know, they will, though, I think that we can make a pretty strong argument that we are, the panhandle is a unique entity. And all the development going on in Charlestown is beneficial for this discussion. You know, if there's enough people around to justify expanding, it's a lot easier to get them to do it. Yeah. But the trick is we got to have data from people, and that's what the surveys are about. You know, because I want to print them all. I want to take it in a big thick stack and just drop it on somebody's desk. Mm-hmm. You know, make a show out of it. But that's where that's at. You know, I do not see a resolution this year.
Maybe you want to go back to rotary phone.
I've got no problem with that. You know, I know Morse code than you.
Tin cans, some strength. Yeah.
But, you know, I do not see. We can do boosters. But they only work, you know, right now what Verizon offers is they're linked to an address and they're very, very short range. So to make them effective, we would have to put a whole bunch of them in town. And they're, you know, I mean, if you want me to, I could put together some numbers on what we could do to take baby steps in that direction. You know, maybe put one here, maybe put one down where near Evergreen Coffee, where people are, where you can't get good service, and, you know, maybe do a pilot. But, you know, I'm happy to put together some numbers if you would like, but I think it's going to be outrageously expensive.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're on the right track when we have solid information and a good case to make. We make it.
Yeah, we got to start a plan somewhere, Jesse.
It's really bad, you know. It's kind of a joke in one of the surveys, but it's real too. You know, residents have to leave their homes to use their cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, it really sucks. Yeah. You know, especially with all the two-factor authentication now. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to leave twice, and so like when my wife is, she calls me with the code to put in, you know, before, because it'll expire before she can get back with service.
I was going to suggest that even though the Hilltop's on the back burner, still I think we should have a conversation with them, at least with Wells and Anske, because if they move ahead with this project, they're going to need way more cellular or Wi-Fi, all that stuff, because that's going to be a high-end property. So
there's actually a survey prepared just for hospitality, and they're on the list. You know, to hit them up and the see where it goes. I mean, the worst case is Laurel can just fill out the survey. You know,
I can tell you from my Airbnb, the first question out of their mouth is, "What's your login?" Literally. And if you don't have Wi-Fi, a good Wi-Fi, they are not going to be happy.
Well, I think any of our lobbying for state or corporate interest in any of this has to be framed with that we're not talking about just 300 people.
Right.
Correct.
In this little town, we are talking about a major tourism center with a national park, Yes, possibly in the coming years, a major hotel. And,
it's a, you know, there's security issues that we'll talk about too. You know, the water plant, the entire Armory Trail down there. You know, it's a wireless service black hole. You know, when there's in the event of crime or the need for emergency response, there's no way to get a signal out there.
Thank you, Jesse, for everything you're trying to do on this.
It's very frustrating because it's a huge.
How do trains communicate when
they
come
radio.
Through?
Horns.
Radio
horns.
Horns. So they're using old technology.
Well, radios are still preferred for life critical communication.
Wow.
Because
okay.
You can't really. When bad things happen, the cell service gets quickly overwhelmed. Like if you go up and look at the tower up there, there's three pairs of panels around the antenna, and each one of those pairs can support, it's a weird number, it's like whatever 263 times 2 is. That's how many simultaneous connections it can support. Once you reach that number, it starts dropping calls and, you know, won't bring people in. So it slows down first. But if there's a huge rush, it just starts shutting people off. And that's a whole, you know, there is no good solution for that except more towers. And for that, you need more backhaul, which is not available. You know.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
I'll send that around, though. You guys can look at the maps.
Yeah, cool.
New business. Discussion action regarding employee driving policy. This is Debbie's.
So in doing some research on some insurance items to renew our policy, I came across the templates and outlines of building a fleet safety program and policy, fleet management policy. It has to do, centers around a driving policy agreement with employees and would give us a mechanism to be allowed to check records from Motor Vehicles Administration upon employment or at any time through employment, and sets a standard of behavior for not only driving our owned vehicles, but vehicles that someone else may need to use, times when other people maybe need to use their personal vehicles for business use. So this process, this particular template that I have, walks through an entire structure within our organization of fleet management, starting with the risk management department and accident review committees and all this, how purchasing is handled and vehicle replacement and all that. It's built for a county, which has a lot more vehicles than we have. So it certainly could be pared down to address our needs, but I wanted to bring it to your attention and see if there is interest in developing such a policy, and it could become part of our handbook, basically. But I think I would need, and I'm not sure if this is something you would want IOC to take over, or if how you want that, how further work should be implemented upon it. But that I wanted to bring it to your attention.
Yeah, we certainly, Council, we know that we've had some issues in the past regarding this. And I think any step is a great step forward for us. One of my biggest frustrations during the past 3 to 4 months regarding some issues was not being able to get information that I feel that we were entitled to in various places. And I think, Debbie, you feel confident that we can accomplish that, rightfully so, for our needs here.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been frustrating for me with, you know, certain things that we were confronted with.
Well, I love the policy that was presented. I could not
I think from an insurance standpoint, we're showing that we're going to reduce risk. I used to be an insurance agent. So you're always looking at risk. And if you can have clean driver's records in your fleet, and then the peak drivers, and you have and you're checking once in a while, and you're doing all this, you're more apt to get, you know, a better rate than somebody else that doesn't do this.
And policies also shape behavior.
Did I send the policy to Budget and Finance, the draft?
Council
hasn't seen that yet because it was in the Budget and Finance, but didn't happen. So yeah, but it's a full on.
So, you know, a policy reduces our liability in the event of something, which, you know, not having a policy, if something happened, we'd be doomed.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Storm just said, or Chris, I can't remember, that the policy shaped behavior, and there's a lot of truth to that.
So if it's going to be before Budget and Finance, maybe we don't need to commit it anywhere else right now.
Let's start there.
I think IOC will want to see it too, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I think if you could look at it first and see what is essential in this template here, what's not.
I feel like it could start there. I'd like to see. Oh, it's only January. So I'd like, it is part of our questionnaire on the insurance renewal, is to, you know, do you have said policy? So I think if we can try to, I think there's so much here that we could easily carve it out and have something in place by February, which I think would be really good. And that would also assist you in this hiring process. That was the other piece I was trying to.
So February is when the renewal happens?
No, but it's when I have to turn in my paperwork, which would shape rates a little bit, yeah.
And that would be part of the check of the hiring of an employee, you know, check the driver record, driver's record.
So if Budget and Finance looked at it next week and then asked Council to do something with it in the February meeting.
Well, I may be misremembering, but I was thinking I only saw it with the Council documents, not the not Budget and Finance.
Oh, you know what? I don't think it was.
I didn't see it.
No.
I didn't
see
it.
I'm so confused. I'm sorry. The snow storm, I mean, just really has me.
I came ready to with enthusiasm to pass it to
you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I gave it to Patty to give for the Council meeting. That's what happened. Oh, I see. I wasn't behind as I thought I was.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the only question I had was that there was that focus on not driving home, and did we need to tailor something for the police?
Yeah, and this allows for that to happen. Yeah, I mean, I think this is more, I think we can have a more streamlined set of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it needs to be quite as in-depth as this, because we don't have that many departments. Right? So, I guess I was just thinking that would be something we needed to attend to.
Yeah, maybe some editing, but I, you know, I thought when I looked it over, you know, it does not have anything that would not be concerning, and it, I could not think of anything that would be concerning to us that was not there, you know. So anyway, yeah, I'm willing to look at it some more, but I'm also ready to.
Maybe we could adopt it as presented, but commit it to IOC for further refinement. Not ideal to adopt the policy that we expect to change.
Sample county.
Mm. Yeah, we can't.
We're not quite ready.
We could change our name to Sample
Singapore
County.
We need.
It's done.
And if Budget and Finance is going to meet next week,
but oh, that's right. We can change the agenda.
Yeah.
We can add it to the Budget and Finance.
Yeah,
we
can change it.
It's,
yeah.
Well, I think it's on the agenda, but yeah, we can and I'd be willing to. I don't know when we're going to have that meeting, but I'd be willing to sit down with somebody and just. I just don't want to do all that carving on my own without somebody else helping.
Yes.
All right. Anything else on that? All right, motion to adjourn. We have a motion to adjourn from Chris. We have a second from Christian. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion. We are adjourned, Kevin, at 6:31.